Hi, my name is Anna Rowell, Love Girl Magazine's 2020 cover girl. My mom is one of the greatest people I have ever known and will ever know. She loved people with her whole heart. Whether it was me, my dad and my brothers, or someone from across the world she was welcoming into this country. She believed everyone should be loved and appreciated. She was the greatest mother and a friend a person could ask for, and although she was gone too soon, I am so glad I got to spend nearly 17 years of my life with her because not everyone had such a luxury.
Anna's story is a reminder that it is so important that we acknowledge and celebrate each other and that we show and tell young women that they matter to their families and their communities. Today's topic is not just about losing the ones we love, but it is also about celebrating the ones that we love. Welcome to Love Girls, the podcast, where every girl has a story.
I'm Jasmine Babers, founder of Love Girls Magazine, and we are always working to uplift real, honest conversations that girls are having, and we do our best to empower them to share their stories and find strength and vulnerability to create change.
And I'm Michaela Hughes Shaw, a longtime volunteer and storyteller at LGM. We've grown up in this organization, and now, as 20-somethings, we want to elevate this platform by giving voice to the young women that drive our mission. There's something so powerful about sharing your story.
We are so grateful you've been moved to tune in and share this space to help girls lead, overcome, and value themselves while empowering others to do the same. Welcome. So, Michaela, it's been a while since we've gotten to talk, and I'm so excited to hear your voice, and congratulations on graduating. Shoots confetti cannons.
Yes, I wish I had a couple just in my back pocket. You know, that'd be fantastic for right now. Yeah, thank you, though. I graduated from my computer screen. It was a good time, honestly.
That would've been weird. Was it weird?
Yes, absolutely. But it was really cool because I was surrounded by my family and we got to, you know, just celebrate and be with each other in that moment. I'm the first of my family to graduate, so it was still a big deal. Mm-hmm. And my degrees came in the mail, so I'm officially official, right?
Oh my gosh, that was quick. It took you, I see, like 4 months to mail me my degree.
That is unacceptable. We need to write a letter. Yeah, but how are you? What's been going on? How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, I'm really good. Nothing super exciting has been going on, especially since we're all kind of still locked up, still taking this really seriously, not wanting to get sick or get anybody else sick. But I did end up moving. So I am in a new apartment. I'm still in Chicago. It's adorable. I'm living with one of my best friends. So yeah, that's been the most exciting thing that's been happening. And I'm super into interiors and decorating. So it's been fun to have like a clean palette.
Yeah. Well, how have you been keeping yourself entertained in the midst of, well, everything that's going on?
Yeah, I'm still trying to teach myself how to bake. That has been an adventure for sure. But also getting super into writing. I've found that it's become something that's super therapeutic to me. And I've been writing children's books actually in like my free time. And children's books are actually really hard. You would think because they're like so little words, like it would be so easy, but it's not. It's been difficult. So yeah. And I'm not a good rhymer either, so that also.
Hey, you know what? I applaud you for even going on that journey. That sounds really awesome. And in 27 years, when I have kids, I will read them your books.
In 27 years, won't that make you like 98 or something like that?
You know, at least math is not what we're talking about today. because I just don't think that that would go over well. But today's topic it's a bit of a heavy one, but we hope that it will be really eye-opening for our listeners. The questions that we're posing today are, how can we deal with the grief of losing someone, especially when you're young and you lose someone, or if it's a parent? And how can we start to heal from tragedy? What is it that we can do to move forward with our lives? And how can you still honor that person in the midst of that as well? And really, what is the right thing to say to someone who is struggling with the fact that they lost someone? I feel like there are times where we just don't know what to say or to do to help those who are dealing with loss.
In order to help us talk through some of these really big questions and kind of just lend their experience and lend their advice to our conversation today, we have two amazing women. We have Brandy Donaldson. Brandy is a woman who I look up to immensely. Mick and I adore Brandy, and we're excited to have her be a part of the conversation. Brandy was the whopping age of 11 years old when she decided she wanted to be a newspaper woman. Brandy was an award-winning newspaper reporter for 7 years, and in 2012, her career transitioned into corporate communications management. Brandy began her journey into social advocacy and activism shortly after moving to Illinois, leaving her mark in a big way through organizations like the African American Leadership Society in the Quad Cities, the African American Lesbian Professionals Have a Say, or ALFAs, which she co-founded. And if that was not impressive enough, Brandy also serves on the Illinois Council on Women and Girls and the Equality Illinois Advisory Council. Brandy, it is a joy to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, alongside Brandy, we also have the opportunity to bring on our newest cover girl, Anna, to talk about her mother, Amy. And Amy believed in her daughter. She nominated Anna Rowell for a 2019 Love Award only months before she passed away. Our hearts were so heavy because we couldn't honor Anna while her mother was living. Anna, how are you doing today?
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yay. Well, we are excited to have you both. I just wanted to talk about your cover shoot. Me and my mom were actually going through the covers that we've done in the past, and there's like over, 50 of them? And your cover, designing it was a joy, and it might actually be one of my favorites. It might actually be one of my favorite covers.
Man, when you guys see this cover, it is amazing. It's fire.
Yes, you really outdid yourself. So Anna, I actually remember meeting you and seeing you for the first time. I remember we received your nomination and we were all so blown away by your story and your mother's admiration for you. And actually, we have like a pretty fairly like excessive process that we do to narrow down our candidates and find the right young women to honor. And when we heard your story, we knew we had to do something special. And I remember talking to our planning committee and we wanted to name an award after your mom. And we ultimately decided that it would be my mom who would read your bio and explain the award and its meaning at the Love Awards. And it was such a proud moment and an emotional moment for us as an organization and for my mom specifically. Poor thing. She was so honored and she was really nervous because she knew she'd get so emotional on stage. But in the end, it felt right for us to have like a mom reading another mom's words about her daughter. So I'm so curious to know what that moment was like for you walking onto that stage and accepting the Amy Rowell Award and just your experience at the 2019 Love Awards overall.
Well, yeah. So overall, it was a great experience and it was just a really wonderful night to get to celebrate other girls who have accomplished so much. And it was a really big surprise because I obviously had no idea it was going to happen. And so when they like were announcing it and when they called my name, it was just very emotional from the very beginning. So I walked up there and I'm pretty sure I was already crying. And I just like, I was so nervous because I usually get nervous on stage or when I'm in front of anybody. And I felt like everyone was just there for me to help me. To see everyone's faces, they were just so accepting and they're like, yeah, like go Anna. Overall, it was a really great night.
That was
by far one of my favorite moments at the Love Awards ever. And I've been around for a long time, but it was just such a powerful moment. And I'm so happy that you enjoyed it and that you were surprised and that you had no idea. I feel like that makes it even just a little bit more special as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I have always loved going to the Love Awards, and I think it's such an empowering moment and time for the young women in our communities. Well, all of our communities in Memphis, in Washington, D.C., in the Quad Cities. Jasmine, what was your initial thought process when you were coming up with the idea of the Love Awards?
I actually adore the Love Awards. Anybody who knows me knows how excited I get about the Love Awards. I say that it's Christmas in April. The Quad Cities is not a ginormous place, and there aren't a ton of activities for young women to be celebrated at. There's not a ton of activities that people can get all dressed up and go see some amazing performances and celebrate young people in their community. And I wanted to create that experience for the Quad Cities. And then we created that experience in Memphis and then in Washington, D.C. So it's actually been something that we found a lot of communities were in need of. We always have amazing performances. We always have even more amazing young people that we get to celebrate and award with Love Awards. And it's just been a really amazing experience over the past, I think, 6 years. I think we might be on our 6th Love Awards coming up, I think.
It might be the 7th.
Is it the 7th? You know,
honestly, what did I say at the beginning of the episode? I can't add, so.
So, Brandy, I want to ask you, we know that you lost your dad just a short while ago, and there's this really beautiful quote by Patti Smith, and it says, "When you transform grief into remembrance, then you are magnifying the person you lost, and you are also giving something of that person to other people." So as a writer and a journalist, how has storytelling helped you deal with your loss?
Storytelling for me has been pretty crucial. Writing about my dad, writing about experiences we had together. Being an adult, your relationship with your parents really does shift and change quite a bit. I was 36 when I lost my father, but you become more like a friend than parent-child. At least for me and my dad, we really became more like buddies. You know, the way we would talk to each other and, you know, and the things that we would share with each other. You know, losing that, it's losing a parent and losing a friend at the same time. But for me, talking about it, sharing my experience, obviously I'm not the only person in the world who has lost a parent. So many people close to me have had that same experience. A few of my best friends lost their father just 2 weeks before I did. So we found solace in each other sitting around talking about our dads. So for me, storytelling is great, whether it's written storytelling or just doing this, you know, having a conversation about how I felt about him, how I still feel about him. So it's therapeutic. It really is.
I really appreciate how you and your friends were there to support and love on each other in a really hard time. Do you have any tips for people who want to write about family members or write about something that's hard?
Well, there's no rules, really, with mm-hmm. writing. There's no right way to do it or wrong way to do it if you're expressing yourself. I would just say, listen to your heart and listen to your mind. One of the worst things you can do, I think, when grieving, and I've learned this through therapy myself, is try to stop grieving or try to hide your feelings or suppress your feelings. And so I would apply that same advice to anyone who's writing, whether the person is still in your life or whether you have lost them. Be open, be honest. Don't try to cloud your emotions. Don't try to hide your emotions. What you're feeling is valid. It's okay to be vulnerable, especially when you're grieving, especially grieving for a parent. There's no wrong or right way to do that. The worst thing you can do to yourself, I think, because I experienced this, was try to act like you're okay or try to be okay when you're really not okay. And so if I'm sitting down and I'm writing about my dad and it just happens to be one of those days that I'm overcome with emotion, I just have to feel that and put that out. If it's one of those days where it's all about just happy memories of him, then I'll sit down and that's what I'll write about. But either way, it's okay. I mean, there's no rules. If you write poetry, write poetry. If you write in a journal, write in a journal. If you're writing short stories that, you know, are fiction, write that. There's really no wrong way or right way to do that. Just do it in a way that is satisfying to you and that is honest and that's open. And then I hope if I share that, a lot of stuff I don't even share. I mean, I write for myself a lot more than I write for anybody else. But if I'm going to share it, if it's something that I'm going to share on an open platform, I always hope that that vulnerability and that honesty can maybe help someone else.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And so I have a question for both of you, and maybe Anna, you can start, and Brandy, you can hop in. I always struggle with the right way to do condolences, or the quote unquote right thing to say. What advice might you have to people who haven't lost a parent? What could they say or do that might help or bring a moment of joy?
Well, the first thing that I would tell you was it's going to be awkward either way. So just to make sure that they understand that you truly care about how they feel and maybe not that you understand, but you sympathize for what they've gone through. Mm-hmm. It's really like, it doesn't matter the words that you say, but just more the understanding that you feel for them.
I would have to agree with that. Most of the time when someone is trying to comfort you, even though they may not say all of the right things, you know, if you know that it's heartfelt, and you know that it's sincere, that's really enough. For me, like I said, you know, I'm an adult well into my 30s, and my father is in Arkansas. So I was away for the funeral. I was away for a lot of things that had to do with him when he was going through his illness. So not a lot of my friends here even knew my dad or anything like that. So they just really they were just making themselves available to me because they knew I was going through it. So even though they didn't have a lot to say necessarily about him specifically, because they only knew who he was through what I'd shared with them, you know, that I came home several times and found flowers on my front porch unexpectedly. Just little gestures like that. I got cards in the mail unexpectedly. I had a friend, she just happened to know that my dad was a disabled veteran. So she had made a donation to a disabled veterans association that he was a part of. Wow. Again, most unexpected, very heartfelt. It's not like they had to say a lot or mm-hmm. find the right words. It was just the action of being present and those little gestures of kindness. Those friends now to me are so invaluable just because they were present.
I'm happy that you both felt supported by those around you while you were experiencing this loss. I remember watching a TED Talk one time, and the speaker was talking about grief and just how it never truly goes away, but it kind of presents itself in different ways. There are moments in that journey where you say to yourself, oh, okay, I'm going to be okay. I can do this. Are either of you comfortable with talking about when that moment was for you?
That moment really is not one single moment for me. It's been several moments like that. And I've had several moments where it's been the opposite of that. And for me, that's all okay. I learned a lot about the grieving process through therapy. I was really grieving in an unhealthy way before I really understood it. And so that moment you're talking about, it happens to me all the time. Father's Day just passed, which was tough for me. And I was preparing myself for it to be just miserable because last year, the first Father's Day without my pops, it was incredibly miserable. And so this year I was just kind of bracing myself for having just a really miserable day. And it really wasn't. It was not a miserable day. I spent it with friends and their family and their father, and it was not a miserable day at all. It was actually a very great day. And so I remember coming home that night and thinking, you know, oh man, this is great that I was able to have today be a good day. And so those days for me come all the time. There are days where I may not focus on my father at all. I may not think about him that day. But then there are days where I am so consumed by missing him, or just looking at pictures, or just catching a glimpse of something that reminds me of him. And those days are definitely very special, where you're able to say, you know, I miss him, but it's just going to be okay. You know, I'm getting through it. I'm just fine. And I focused on knowing that he would not want me to be. He was such a fun person and laughed all the time. And so he would definitely, I kind of just think about him, what he would say to me if he knew like I was sitting around just, you know, being depressed. So those days are great.
Yeah. So I would have to agree with her. I think it's more like the culmination of all of the moments. It's not just one moment. It's when you like are sharing with your family and friends about all the good things that happened, or you are just like hanging out with people that are making you feel good, and not when you're just sitting home alone thinking about all the sad stuff and just like crying in the dark. But like it all just adds up, because you know that you're sad about it, you have also accepted it, and that you recognize all of the good times that you had with them, and you're remembering them. And it's just all of the things that happen after that add up, where you realize that you are going to be okay, because you understand that you are still able to have good times without them, even though you had great times with them. But you can understand that you will be okay.
One thing that Anna said is that there will be times where we mess up and we don't say the right thing. But the most important thing is the intent behind those words and the willingness to do better, to learn more, and to figure out how we can really support our friends and our family members who have lost someone. I think about times where people have been there for me in the midst of very trying situations. Mm-hmm. What is it that comes to mind for you when you think about something meaningful that a friend or a family member has done for you when you're struggling, or you're grieving, or going through just a really hard time?
This idea of intention is something that I have really recently been looking into. And it's about, for me, asking the right questions. I think a lot of times people will ask me, you know, if I'm struggling, what is it that I can do to help? And that means so much to me. But when you have so many things happening in your mind about, I need to eat, I need to sleep, I need to do my laundry, I need to do my homework, or I need to do this work or that work, and then somebody coming to you and being like, I'm going to bring you food at 6, let me know what you want. That's that intentionality of taking care of somebody and trying your best to cross something off their list, to be helpful in a way that they might not be able to express to you because maybe they don't feel comfortable like reaching out and asking for you to bring them something to eat, or for you to cook them something to eat because they don't have time or they don't feel like getting out of bed. I feel a little bit more successful when I put that extra intention forward to think through what it is that they might need and then deliver that to them, rather than asking for them to let me know what they need. And maybe that question's overwhelming, or maybe they don't really want to reach out and ask for that little extra bit of help. So yeah, just trying to be as intentional as I can when it comes to helping out somebody who might be grieving or might be having a hard time.
Yeah, you touched on really some of the signs of someone being depressed. Mm-hmm. And when you're depressed, some of those basic needs just go out the window. You can really struggle to just simply take care of yourself, especially after losing someone that you love and care about. Food, taking somebody to the grocery store or bringing them food, helping them just do very simple things that could feel so hard in that time when they're struggling, that is so intentional. And that can be so extremely helpful. Like you said, sometimes we don't really ask for what we need.
Yeah.
And if you can see that in your friend and you can just try to do your best to support them by doing actions instead of just sending a text message, I think that that could be really impactful.
Yeah. Listening to Anna and Brandy talk about what it felt like to lose a parent, it's actually really hard for me to imagine losing my mom or my dad. And it brought me back to when a few years ago we were fostering a little girl. Her name was Adri, and she was about 4 years old. And I actually grew up in the foster care system, so my parents have years and years of knowledge around the foster care system, and so they're really, really good at what they do. And Adri was 4 years old, and she had been moved from home to home to home. It was something crazy, like six homes in the span of 6 months or something like that. And you could tell that she had been through a lot of traumatic experiences in that short period of time, especially only being 4 years old. And I remember coming home from college and being able to meet Adri for the first time, and she was literally the biggest personality. She loved putting on my makeup. She loved dressing up in my grandma's old clothes. I have a picture of her in heels, in my mom's heels, and in my grandma's jewelry. And she was just such a light in our house at that time. But every night, she would ask me to read her a bedtime story. And I would. And after that first story, she would ask for another. And, you know, eventually it's time to say goodnight, especially when you're that it's getting late. And I remember going upstairs, and she was really upset that I was leaving. And I remember going upstairs to my room, and with the understanding that I had to let her struggle through this. And she started crying, and she started screaming, and she started calling out for her mom. And she was calling out for her mom for several hours. And even though her mom didn't pass away, it was that separation, even at 4 years old, that really just altered her in the way that she was feeling. It made her so upset. It's such a traumatic experience being separated from your parent. It doesn't matter what age you are. And for Adri, hearing her call out for her mom, it honestly brought me to tears, because it's hard to imagine being 4 years old and not knowing where your mom is and not knowing when you were going to be able to see her again. And that kind of translated to me when Brandy and Anna were talking, is like knowing that you might not ever see your parents again. And if they pass away, knowing that you'll never be able to talk to them or have a conversation with them or see them or hug them. And it all kind of connected for me that being around my mom and my dad, they won't be here forever. And it's so important to cherish these moments.
Okay, ladies, we're switching gears. We're trying something new here at the podcast. We've prepared 10 questions for you, but you can only answer these questions in one word. No pressure at all.
Speed round.
So, Anna, favorite movie or TV show?
Ooh, just one. Probably Once Upon a Time.
Okay. Now, Brandy, what is your wildest dream?
Peace, I guess. Peace.
I love that. That's great. Anna, what was the last book that you read?
It was a poetry book called Nectar. Sorry, one word. Sorry.
You're good. Brandy, if you won the lottery, what would be the first thing that you would buy?
Property.
Ooh, good one.
Yep.
Real estate.
Build that wealth.
Real estate.
Anna, what is the worst thing that you have ever eaten?
Octopus?
alcohol.
That's delicious.
Oh, like calamari?
Absolutely not. I don't like fish.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you guys can keep that over there.
I'm good. I love calamari.
Okay, Brandy, something that you're really good at.
Writing.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
you want another answer? Something less predictable?
No, go ahead. That was okay, Anna, somewhere that you have never been but you would like to visit.
Greece.
Same. I was supposed to go to Greece at the end of the year, but then we had to cancel because of COVID.
Dang. I was supposed to go in September and canceled.
Oh my gosh, we might have been there at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to cancel.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully we'll both make it to the other side of the world soon.
Yeah, I hope you guys do too. I'll be in Iowa, by the way. That's where I'm going.
Someday, you'll get there.
Someday. Oh, Brandy, question for you. Celebrity that you would like to meet?
Oh, Mariah, hands down.
Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey. I was trying to keep it to the one word, but...
I know this one word thing isn't really working, but that's okay.
I was very close to Mariah Carey once in a nightclub, but I didn't get to meet her. But yeah, Mariah for sure.
Anna, what is your biggest worry?
Probably worry or fear would be that I would, like, not do anything to change the world for the better.
Amazing. Well, you've already made an impact on our lives, so don't worry about that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On a lighter note, if I had to answer that question, it would be that I would get attacked by bugs. But that's just me.
That happens every day when I walk out of the house. In my yard.
No.
Okay, well, last question. There was nothing speed-like about that speed round, but Brandy, what is your current favorite song?
It wouldn't be anything like modern, probably. I listen to a lot of old music, so I'm just going to go with my overall favorite song, and that's We Belong Together, Mariah.
Oh, yes. Brandy, do you want to sing some of the song?
Absolutely not. My rule is it's never a good idea for anyone to sing Mariah in public.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. It doesn't matter how good you are. You're probably not that good.
Not that good. Nobody.
Not that good. Not Mariah. I sing it a lot when I'm by myself, but I will not sing Mariah on a podcast. Never, ever, no.
Oh my goodness. My mom felt the same way about Whitney Houston. She's like, nobody can ever rap Whitney.
Same rule applies. Exactly.
I also agree with that statement. I am the same way.
Well, you guys, Anna, Brandy, this conversation has been such a joy. It's been informative. It's been fun. It's so important for us to have these conversations, even if they're hard, and you both made it such a joy. Mick and I loved having you on. Brandy and Anna, thank you so much for riding with us.
Thank you so much. This has been a great experience. I appreciate being a part of it.
Are great. And to all our listeners, we couldn't do this without you. We love creating this content for you and finding ways to connect women and girls with each other. It's a part of our mission to spotlight girls around the community doing amazing things. And in this episode, of course, we are spotlighting Anna Rao, our 2020 cover girl. We would love for you to take a peek at the Love Girls Magazine blog at lovegirlsmagazine.com. Be sure to check out our social media pages at Love Girls Magazine and Love Girls Magazine, the podcast, for all the new content, all the new inspo, all the new news. If you haven't had the opportunity or the pleasure, actually, to read any of Brandy's work, Brandy does have a website. Brandy, do you want to tell them where they can find your blog?
Sure, it's very simple, brandydonaldson.com. The blog is on the website. Some things that I've written in the past for other formats is on the website. And also I'm sharing snippets of what will be my first book, brandydonaldson.com, brandydonaldson.com.
A book? Is this like an exclusive?
It's probably publicly exclusive on a podcast, but I've shared on social media. I've shared on some of my own, platforms, just to kind of, it's really an accountability thing to share it, because I have people who will ask me about it, and it kind of stirs me to get this finished. This has kind of been a 3-year thing up to now, but life keeps changing. And as a writer, sometimes you have to figure out where to stop. But it's out there. Losing my dad was definitely something that resulted in a whole new couple chapters. So it's something that I'm working on. I don't have a timeline for myself. It's something that's really a personal goal and something that I've always wanted to do. So not 100% exclusive, but definitely probably podcast exclusive.
Yes, well, we feel very special. And I look forward to reading really anything that you write.
Awesome. Awesome. And Anna, what about you?
It's really just Instagram, and it would be Anna_Lucille02.
Love it. We love it. And once again, to all of our listeners and supporters, we couldn't do this without you. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you took something with you and that you put it in your back pocket and saved it for a day when you need it the most. Please feel free to share our podcast with your friends and family to help us spread the word. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a rating and a review. We would love to hear your feedback and to just learn a little bit more about you, our listeners. So this is a new segment of the podcast called After the Show and Behind the Scenes of Love Girls Magazine. So today we're talking about how you can become a cover girl and what to expect at your photo shoot. So at Love Girls Magazine, we know the importance of highlighting the amazing young women in our community. There is something so powerful about elevating a girl's story. Now, Jasmine, I know that you are very specific about the girls that you like to highlight in the magazine, and I want to talk a little bit about that. I remember something that you told me when I had first started volunteering is that we don't highlight celebrities, we highlight real girls. Why is that?
So I actually think it goes back to the origins of the magazine and why we decided to do this project anyways. The truth of the matter is that a lot of times girls don't really see themselves reflected in today's media. I am a dark-skinned, 5'2", curvy Black girl, and I rarely see anybody who looks like me on the cover of a magazine. And that lack of representation made me grow up thinking that girls like me don't actually get put on covers of magazines, and we're not featured in covers of magazines. And I know there are so many other girls with so many other characteristics who felt that way as well. And so that was something that was really important to me, is that we feature everyday girls. We feature girls not at all because of what they look like, but for the contents of their character.
Yep, and I think that that's part of what makes us so special. But how do we actually find our cover girls?
It's such a good question. I get asked all the time, and it's actually not as complicated as people think. So to get featured in the magazine, to be able to write somebody's story, or to be able to tell your own story, you just have to get in contact with us and let us know who you are and what makes your story unique. And the great part about storytelling and people's own narratives is that everybody has a story, and every story deserves to be told. We have a lot of girls who actually don't reach out themselves, which is funny. They have somebody who nominates them, and that's how we find people. So if you're a mom or a teacher or a mentor and you know an amazing young woman, all you have to do is go to lovegirlsmagazine.com and let us know about her. And if you are a girl and you're like, I know I'm amazing and I know I have a story to tell, you do the same. Just go on to lovegirlsmagazine.com and let us know about who you are and what makes you special.
Yeah, thanks for that info. And lastly, what is it that a cover girl can expect at her photo shoot?
Cover shoots are actually my favorite part. Well, one of my favorite parts of what we do here at Love Girls Magazine, because they are so special and we really get to pamper and uplift and encourage and empower our cover girls, because we want them to not only feel super, super special, but we want them to get the real experience. Like, we want them to get the real cover girl experience and everything that comes with. And so there is hair and makeup, and there is wardrobe, and there are camera slashing, and there's outfit changes. I'll be there directing more than likely, and telling you to spin, and telling you to sit, and telling you to stand, and telling you to smile, and telling you to frown. And so it's one of those experiences that we hope is one of those moments that girls will remember, hopefully for the rest of their lives. We want them to feel really special. We want them to have that cover and be able to show people that cover and remember this as a positive experience, an uplifting experience that they'll remember forever.
And even though my cover shoot was 5 years ago, I can attest to what it is that Jasmine just shared. It's still something that I will always remember. I loved the feeling of being pampered and celebrated. I love the outfit changes, and it was such a good time. So thank you so much for talking about that, Jasmine.
Yeah, it's one of the best parts about doing the magazine. You guys are gonna love Anna Rao's cover. It is one of my favorites. She killed her photo shoot, and it was a joy to design, so I cannot wait for you all to see.
We know that today's topic was really heavy, and if something came up for you and you need to talk to someone, please text CONNECT to 741-741 to reach a crisis counselor. You are not alone.